Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started. I guess I could tell one.
You had spliced these out over several episodes.
on the property that I grew up on, my dad, we had like 40 acres. One side of it, we had a fence, and then there was woods on the other side of that fence. There was woods on both sides, but I would go to that fence squirrel hunt with my dog. He's Tennessee Mountain Cur, yellow, bobtail, born that way. Man, he started treeing squirrels by himself at 5 months old.
Wow, that's early.
And I would go, and I didn't teach him this. He just
instinct.
Smart dog.
Instinct.
I'd go stand at the fence. He'd go on through the fence, go make a circle. And if he didn't find a squirrel, he'd come back to me. We'd go hunt another patch.
Yeah.
But often he would find a squirrel. A lot of times he would wind them, just smell them. He wasn't tracking, trailing them.
Right.
Smell them in the air. That was best squirrel dog, man. You'd never guess his name.
Trixie.
Hank.
Oh.
You come up with a Trixie.
Well, I'm trying to come up with
daggone Trixie.
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
Not dog mess, that mess, I named.
Mess with you. I see it work too.
Hank, that was his name. He'd ride right there a lot of times when I was in high school. He was my senior year. He was right there.
Right over here.
Yep.
Yeah, different dogs would hunt different distances from you. Different and even different methods.
Yeah.
You wanted the one that would, I would say, circle you, come back to you. That was ideal. And not one that went way off. Some would just beelined away from you, like just straight away and never turned.
Peculiar.
And then some would circle you. Yeah. That's, I always liked the ones that circle me and not too far from me.
Yeah. Peculiar thing about Hank. I tried to coon hunt him because his dad was a jam-up coon dog.
Yeah.
I didn't mention this, but that stock was Robert C. Keemer, what they call Keemer stock. He had lots of good dogs, and that's where this one came from. But his dad was a coon dog. But I tried coon hunting him. He would not get out from under my feet.
He's scared of the dark.
At night.
He's scared of the dark.
I guess. He didn't want to go out there with them other dogs.
He'd heard about them big old coons as big as him.
I guess. Yeah, he probably weighed 40 pounds. He wasn't real big.
And then Jesus comes, cleanses that temple, says, hey, I'm going to tear this thing down. And then turns around, begins to teach. Paul taught. You are the temple.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the giving of the Spirit at Pentecost, we're all the temple.
Yeah.
And he's out everywhere. That veil's torn. That, of course, 70 AD, the temple's gone.
Yeah.
But just that whole, that was how they thought about it. And Jesus came to us in that broken way of thinking and said, all right, let me take this away. And show you that I allowed these things to give you some understanding of what's reality.
Yeah.
Wasn't because this is how you approach me in the temple.
Yeah.
It was, this pointed to me as the Word made flesh and as me in you as the temple.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I think those, especially I think in the Pentecost, that was just it was something that he did to teach us and help us to understand the reality that was always, you know, the Holy Spirit came.
Yeah.
And now is in us. Well, he's mm-hmm. always been in us.
Yeah.
We can't exist outside of him. We're his children. He gave us life. He birthed
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being.
Right.
So it's another, like the cross, another learning time for us mm-hmm. to understand what reality is.
Yes. Well, okay. I don't know if I even want to, you may have to edit this one out, James. I don't know if I want to, I'm going to say some things. I'm not trying to cause.
Well, what I just said was
controversy.
Way out there.
Well, no, it's just this. There's some Christian traditions that make a big deal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second work of grace mm-hmm. in the life of a believer or a Christian. You know, there's the indwelling of the Spirit when you're saved, and then later there's a second baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
And
then sometimes, you know, there's different thoughts and views about all that, and I'm by no means trying to knock that or displace that at all, other than what I want to say about it is different people have different experiences about that
mm-hmm.
and in different orders and ways, just like in the book of Acts.
Yep.
There's not a pattern there, but we keep trying to make a pattern because that's that law mind.
You get a pattern and then he does something the opposite.
Well, if I get a pattern, I can make a rule. If I make a rule, then you got to follow it. And if you're not following it, then you're out.
See, but you can see it in Acts.
Yeah.
Peter was one example, you know. Like, should we baptize these that have mm-hmm. received the Holy Ghost? See, it was before, you know, before it was baptism, then received the Holy
Ghost. Yes, yes.
So anytime we get a pattern, God will mess around and reverse it.
Yeah, because we're, it's part of that Adamic mindset, and he's trying to renew us to a Christ mind of what's real reality. But we have experiences, and from our experiences, we go to interpreting the Bible and then trying to make, this is how it's got to be.
Yeah.
And whole denominations come up out of that. This is how it's got to be. Instead of allowing some freedom of letting God just do what he wants to do with people.
Yeah.
And accepting that he has done it for all people.
Yeah.
And helping all people come to find that
mm-hmm.
and experience that and awaken to that, to the Christ that is within them, the hope of glory.
Mm. Mercy. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, he says, our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ by dying as our sacrifice. He has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together in himself. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Yeah.
That says it right there.
That says it.
One new race.
Yeah.
We don't believe that.
Well, no. No. I mean, hey, we're 2,000 years since this got wrote. All right. And since this was written. And
yeah.
The most segregated hour.
Mm-hmm.
It was 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we in all colors of people know that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we'll give a head nod to it. But when it comes down to the experience of what's true,
yeah.
oh, we bristle and balk and not going to do it.
That's right.
But it doesn't change what's true.
Yeah.
One Father, one family, one human race in Christ united.
We're all
brothers and
sisters.
We're all brothers and sisters. Yeah. Even if we don't act like it, we are.
Man, I just got a whiff of where I come from. I just remember, I mean, I have come a long way, boy.
Oh, I know I have.
Because that is not what I grew up on.
Oh, me either. Me either.
I wasn't consciously nor in my actions prejudiced toward anyone. I had friends of all different persuasions growing up and in high school. But the culture that I grew up in was very prejudiced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the culture in which I still live has it still today.
Yeah.
It's not as vocal or as in your face or out there, but it's still it's still in the subconscious of people.
Yeah. So the judgment of God on these divisions, it was killed at the cross.
Yeah.
And in Christ, we were raised anew. That's what I wanted to say earlier when I was talking about the language of that other passage saying that you were severed from this old life in the death of Christ. You were severed.
Yes. Yes.
Romans 4:25 says that he died. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But he was raised again because of our justification.
Yes.
My justification does not depend on anything that I do because I was justified 2,000 years ago. Why? Because the Father raised up Jesus.
That's right.
As proof of it.
That's right.
And that's Acts 17, whereby he has given assurance to all men.
Yeah.
By raising him from the dead. Mm-hmm. What's that assurance? That's another judgment passage if we want to read it. Since we're talking about judgment.
Talk about the one in Acts?
Yeah, Acts 17. Verses, what is it? 26, 20, 28, maybe. God-given assurance to all men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a note, Paul's talking to pagans.
Yeah, in Athens.
They got all kind of altars out there, and they got one to the unknown God.
He's like, let me tell you about him. Yeah.
The who true, you ignorantly worship.
Yeah.
You worshiping him, but you don't know how or what.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about him.
He said, the true God is the creator of all things. He's the owner and Lord of the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And he doesn't live in man-made temples. You know? Yeah.
Slapping the like two boxers in the ring. He's slapping religion on him.
I know it. I know it. We want to build a temple and confine him. And like, he don't live there. Okay. He supplies life and breath and all things to every living being. He doesn't lack a thing that we mortals could supply for him, for he has all things and everything he needs. Mm. From one man, Adam, he made every man and woman and every race of humanity and spread us all over the earth. He sets the boundaries of people and nations, determining their appointed times in history. He has done this so that every person should long for God, feel their way to him, and find him, for he is the God who is easy to discover. Yeah. Listen, it takes a lot of religion to veil the God who's easy to discover.
Yeah.
That's why you go to church and you get confused because you didn't understand a thing that was being said.
That's right.
God help me to say it clear. Yeah. Every week I struggle to do that. Hope I get better. It is through him that we live and function, have our identity. Just as your own poets have said, our lineage comes from him.
Remember, Paul's talking to heathens, pagans.
Yeah.
It's in him that we live.
Since our lineage can be traced back to God, how could we even think that the divine image could be compared to something made of gold, silver, stone, sculpted by man's artwork and clever imagination?
Yeah.
And in the past, God tolerated our ignorance of these things.
Yeah.
But now, the time of deception has passed away. He commands us all to repent and turn to God.
Yeah.
For the appointed day has risen, in which he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has designated. And the proof given to the world that God has chosen this man is this: he resurrected him from among the dead.
There it is.
There's your proof.
Yep. There's the judgment coming.
That's right. It is. And he's going to judge the whole world in righteousness by this one man, Jesus.
And truth.
Yeah, and truth.
Just a side note before you elaborate, Romans 2:5, Paul says that men are going to be judged according to my gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, what, you want me to read some more or talk about it?
The judgment.
Yeah, the judgment. God judged everything at the cross. And there's coming a day when he's going to unveil to everybody what he's already done for them.
Yeah, let me remind you what we said in the earlier episode. Jesus said the Father judges no one.
Yeah.
I judge no one. The Father didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it.
Yeah.
The law judges.
Yeah.
Jesus' judgment, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's just what he's going to do. He's going to unveil to everybody what he's already done.
Oh!
See, everybody thinks they're going to get up there and he's going to, you know, this is your life.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Chick tracks.
That's right. And boy, how that clouded our judgment of how it's going to be.
That DVD on.
Oh, yeah.
All the times you did what you did and you thought nobody was looking.
Yeah.
But the judgment, there was a verse. Where was it? Jesus. Yeah, that's what Paul said. This is why I don't know anything but Christ and him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Christ being crucified, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, it was in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus that God reconciled the world to himself.
That's right.
He set things right. That's the judgment, is to make things right.
That's right.
And he himself, by himself, made things right for all things. In every realm, however you want to look at it, slice it, dice it, whatever perspective you want to make, he summed it all up and he did it. And he's like, I have declared mankind is righteous before me.
Yeah.
They are as righteous as I am.
Romans 4:25. He was raised because of our justification.
Yes. He was crucified for our
sins,
our offenses.
Yeah.
Raised for our justification.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. We're putting our sins on him at the cross, and he's dealing with it.
Yeah. There's another verse in that passage there that says God has given assurance to all men. Another version.
Yeah, another version.
The proof is assurance.
Yeah, we have proof. We have assurance.
Because Jesus was raised.
Yeah.
And we always look at it like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, a fearful thing.
Well, yeah.
We love, cast out fear.
Is that not the whole thing? I mean, see, God is love. We got a fear-based relationship.
That's right.
With the Creator.
Yeah.
But Jesus comes and says, no, we have a love-based relationship with a Father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely different.
And it's totally different. Totally different.
So, can you talk some more about that? Because it says, you know, there's coming a day, or he's appointed a day.
For the appointed day has risen in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has designated.
And it could be that day is, you know, whenever you die and you stand before the Lord. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can get that judgment individually. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a...
Well, yeah.
Like we always saw it.
Well, yeah, I've heard different thoughts about some of that, about at the... I'm going to use the term the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Does that happen immediately after you die, or is that at an appointed time at the end of time?
Yeah.
When the telos, the end, has come.
Yeah, that might be a side note. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But the judgment is righteousness and truth.
Yeah, which I think is the point of it. It's not when it happens.
That's right.
I mean, we can debate when it happens, and no one will ever know.
There's a psalm that says, mercy and truth have kissed one another.
Yeah.
Talking about the crucifixion.
Yes.
Mercy and truth have kissed one another. Mm-hmm. The mercy was God has committed us all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all.
That's his judgment.
What he's done it in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done.
Yes, it is finished.
He has raised him up.
Yeah,
and that's us with the him. Proof and our assurance of it.
Well, that's it. The whole human race was born again at the resurrection.
Yes, God.
And it's a new humanity.
Yes.
We haven't woke up to that. Our minds haven't been renewed to it. Our hearts have failed to believe it. Our actions sure don't prove it.
Yeah.
But that is what God has done. And that good news is slowly breaking out.
Yeah.
And
like the rising of the sun.
Yeah, it's getting more and more.
More and more. That's right. Yeah, God has given assurance. How so? Resurrection. God did reconcile us to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't reconcile himself to us. He reconciled us
himself
to himself.
Yeah, he didn't need to change.
He didn't have. Uh-uh. I mean, that's one thing.
We're the ones that needed to be rescued.
Always remember is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God wasn't forgiving, he wouldn't have been for sending his son. He wouldn't have given him.
Yeah.
If he was already forgiven, why? Love doesn't keep a record.
Yes. Yeah, the cross is the proof of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? The cross is the proof of forgiveness, not the payment for your forgiveness.
Oh, that's another one. Because you just opened another can.
Well, I know. We like them dogs trailing, man. Anyway, that if it's payment being made, it's not forgiveness.
Mm-mm.
Okay?
That's right. That's right. That's a valid point. You want to get in them judicial terms. You want to look at it from a judge perspective.
Exactly. Exactly.
If it's a payment, it ain't forgiveness.
That's right. That's right.
And it's not necessarily a reconciliation. A reconciling.
Yeah.
A reconciling.
Mm-hmm.
Not a payment.
No. A payment's not.
So, a payment would be law.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe that's the problem.
Well, that is the problem. We want to keep the nature of God in the nature of our relationship with God in a courtroom.
Yeah. When he wants to get to the bedroom.
You said it.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine saying, hey, honey, I got us a date. We're going to go down to the courtroom. We're going to hold hands and watch the proceedings. Yeah, boy, isn't that romantic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling you, he's all about wooing us and dating us and loving us. It's a dance. He loves to dance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing is he loves us.
Mm.
And we struggle to love ourselves.
Oh, I know it, man.
Because we can't live up to our own law of performance.
That's right. That's right. Just quit performing. Start resting.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for us to accept he loves us when we can't accept ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Man.
We're always wanting to change ourselves for, I'm going to say, improvement's sake.
Yeah. I want to be better.
I want to look better. I want, be.
When, if I can realize who I am in Him and learn to rest there and live from there, everything will be better.
Yeah.
Not that that's the goal, but we're already.
You are enough.
Yeah, we are.
And He is enough.
Yeah.
And we can rest there in that.
That's right. Amazing. That's good.
Oh, yeah. And that he just enjoys being with us.
Yeah.
What we're doing isn't the point, I don't think.
Life.
It's just life together with him.
Yeah. That's what Jesus said, as you go.
As you're going, yeah. That's right.
Make disciples.
Yeah. Yeah, just train other people, teach other people, model and explain to others how to live in this life-giving union
with
God, this love relationship where you're released from religion and rituals and rules.
Be loved, love living, and live loving.
Yeah, that's right. Because you are loved, and you're lovable, and you are a loving person.
Oh, God loves you.
That's what's true about you.
Yeah.
Now, that might be how you feel about yourself, believe about yourself, think about yourself, or act. But that's what God has declared is true.
62.
Won't you buy them
6,200
If you would buy those, James, this is simple. If you would buy those 6,200 acres, you could have me down to go hunt with you. I might even buy a coon dog if I had 6,200 acres to hunt it on.
Tell you what, my daddy, he could bankroll it.
Yeah.
Man, that's good.
That is good.
We're probably good. I'll throw another story in there. Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.